Tell us about Home at Gasmere.
Oh, yeah.
Going back to the UK.
Right. I'm still not so sure about that poem. It's the kind of poem I feel like I could probably keep editing it for the rest of my life and would never quite get it right.
It's incredibly beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You know, when I read that and then I read Rob McClellan saying what could easily be considered his strongest collection to date, I think it's in large part because of that poem.
Oh, wow. Well,
you know, and I think maybe reading the third segment of that might be good to illustrate so we can get a sense of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Do you want to start with the reading and talk about
that? Yes, I think so. Sure, I think it was, here we go. I think right there, if I'm not mistaken. And it's actually, so it's a little bit more than a page, right?
Yeah, sure.
And maybe some setup is required.
Yeah, probably. It does. I have to remind myself, too. Yeah, this is sort of a, there's a kind of a going out and coming back in the poem. So it's sort of, without naming it directly, it begins here. It begins in an urban environment, walking.
Here in Delta? Vancouver.
Vancouver, generally, yeah. Walking through this space, and this with the birds you meet here, and this and the kinds of trees you meet here, and seeing this place of decay, and thinking about, here's all the pipelines coming at us, and the heaps of coal along the sides of the harbor, and there's an escape from this place. I went back to Grasmere, and I wanted a counterpoint poem to the reading Wordsworth in the tar sands. Well, let's go back to Wordsworth's home, but the tar sands come with you. So you get there, and you drive into this beautiful community in the English mountains, and the first thing you see is this huge BP gas station, you know, and the petrol's flowing right there. And all the news in the UK when I was there is all about government plans to frack national parks, which they want to do. So they may go right into Wordsworth's backyard and set up a well and frack. Yeah, they changed legislation so they're allowed to do that over there. Because it's a big issue right now. Everyone's freaking out about it. You know, England celebrates its beautiful, greeny countryside, and how about some more oil wells and gas wells out there?
And about 1,000 earthquakes.
Yeah, 1,000 earthquakes. Exactly. So it was, that really was what I was feeling, that the fact that you can't escape. Go to that place that seems like pure beauty and pure poetry. You're in the land of poetry. And the oil-riddled landscape I was hoping to escape is still there as well. There is no place to get outside of the Anthropocene, a word I don't really love, and we can maybe come back and talk to that about that word again at some point. But still, it's becoming a common coinage for this fact that we live in a world now that human beings have altered and affected through and through. That it's almost impossible to escape that human effect and impact.
Taint,
exactly. So this is, I think, really the turning point in the poem in a lot of ways, when I'm starting to go, well, okay, it was nice to come here, but maybe I need to turn back. Which I do. All right. I have addressed dead poets too much. I take my leave of cottage and fells, think the everywhere of suffering, the ordinary of wandering and writing. And it matters very little. Poetry matters very little. I will go back to whence I came, which is and is not the place I'm from. No clear thought about dwelling emerges, just the countenance of absence, just the missing and removed, the displaced and disappeared, the fires we carry to light our pursuit of more material to burn. Wish that we all might carry in deep dells small stone homes for all our mighty losses, loose piles of bodily rock and word, weighing us to the earth. All our reaching after what we didn't even know we lacked is nice dreaming. The rest is birdsong and foxgloves, striking up in meadows greener than memory. I suppose I lack the gas to get away from this petroleum world, to take to the simplicity and unity and life of this one busy highway, Dorothy Wordsworth, that leads to the milder day, which is to come, which is not to come, which is not a milder but an unknown world, which we drain and dig and burn already, and which pools at the edge of our machine city sump, so we can only choose between worlds we have already variously altered and harmed. And we do not lack the gas to get away, but lack the imagination of another way of inhabiting space, of fashioning homes without egregious grids, and despite our best efforts, there is a mutual aid amongst species and materials. And we do not emerge outside nature, but all things live in us, and we live in all things that surround us. That's William Wordsworth. And even in direst circumstances, even at the moment of her disappearance, resistance has continued. Even the dead sometimes continue their resistance beyond the grave. What sings to us when we have stopped singing? What carbon is outside of us, is inside of us, singing ourselves to burn calories and kilojoules of our unmaking as we twist in the dream of doing otherwise? Never read this poem aloud.
Really?
Yeah. I keep thinking I got to do that someday, but then it's like, ooh, it's such a big investment.
I wanted you to record the whole thing. I would have recorded the whole thing. Right, right. Yeah. And dedicated to Peter Cully.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, of course, he passed away during the period I was working on this. And I actually had a separate short Cully poem. I think it's published in David Book's Tripwire, down in the Bay Area. But then I just, you know, going back over this poem, I realized those two poems go together, that Cully is our Wordsworth, and our, I mean, Cascadia, maybe. He's Cascadia's Wordsworth, maybe. You know? A walking poet who really dreamed a European dream, culturally, right? I think Peter is just filtered back through that wonderful tradition of philosophy and literature and art making and music. Some of it very much an American blues kind of world, but a lot of it not. But this just bore this culture in his being that he completely discovered on his own. And not a trained, you know, educated thinker that way. It was just someone who just roamed in cultural fields wherever he could, as he roamed physically in this coastal space here. They just suddenly went together so beautifully. And so I had to bring the Peter part into that poem as well.